Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We realize that you are an awesome God, the one true God. We lift your name up high today. We sing your praises. We worship you. And as we continue in this service this morning, we ask that you be with Brother Cal as he brings the word to us. Open our hearts. Let us be transformed by the message he brings. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people said.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated if you can. We are, how many of you have a Bible today? All right. How many of you have a Bible device? All right. I guess we need some light so we can read the scripture here in just a moment. Everybody's, all us old folks are saying, praise the Lord. let me say this. We are in Breakthrough 2025. God is ministering life, and we're seeing breakthroughs happen in different subject areas of our lives, in different characteristics, things that God's doing, relationships, worship, prayer. We're seeing a lot of different breakthroughs, but for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be in a five-week sermon series on what I'm calling a breakthrough in holiness. A breakthrough in holiness. And I'm praying that many of us will begin to get a grip on what it means to be a child of God. And that involves holiness. And so we're going to be looking at that over the next 5 weeks. Now, I want to ask y'all a question before we read the scripture. Is that okay? I'm going to ask it whether it's not okay or not. But when you think about God, who and what do you see? When you think about God, what do you see? Well, a lot of people today, when they think about God and get a glimpse of God, they think that he's a God who just simply kind of turns his cheek and kind of giggles when we sin and looks the other way when we are in iniquity. Some people think at best that God is nothing more than a glorified Santa Claus. Some people see God as some big great genie who is able to provide every wish that they hope for and want. Some people see God as a God who's so loving that everybody's going to go to heaven. No one's going to be eternally separated from him. So what is your vision of God? How do you see God today? You got that? All right, go to Isaiah. That's over there in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 6. And when you find that, let's honor God by standing to our feet. If we can. If you can't, you just do the best you know how in honoring God's word. Isaiah 6, y'all there? You're way ahead of me. Praise the Lord. All right, watch this. Listen to this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, does he say, I think I saw the Lord? I hope I saw the Lord. I wanted to see the Lord. No, he says what? I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Verse 4, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, make this passage of Scripture, make this text real to our hearts today. God, help us to wrap our head and our hearts around the truth of holiness. Oh God, minister life here to us. Whether we know it or not, we are desperate for a word from heaven. And so speak, Lord, your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. Are you glad you're here this morning?
Amen.
I'd rather be right here than anywhere. I would. I'm thankful for this place, thankful for you. And I'm just praying that God would minister life here to us. I'm 68 years old. I saw some of you gasp. Couldn't believe you're 68. But you know what? I want to see God do something only He can do. And if we'll sell out to the truth that the text is teaching today, we will see God do some great and mighty things. Amen? And so I don't know where you are in your walk with God today, but I desperately want to see God do some amazing things. And the first thing, now what you need to know is Isaiah saw God, and he saw God's holiness. King Uzziah had just died. He was the king of the nation of Judah. He was sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, and it had been a sweet time for the nation of Judah, for the people of God. They were enjoying peace, prosperity, power, and King Uzziah had been on the throne for 52 years. 52 years. You talking about career politicians? That's one right there. But he's now dead. Their leader was gone. He had checked out. And now there's a little bit of unrest and confusion. You know, that's what happens when you don't have a leader. Amen? Amen over here, righteous right side of the church. Amen? And so there's some confusion going on. There's some anxiety. Some folks are despondent. There's a little despair going on. And here's why. Because there's no king in Judah. And at some point in time during this year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah doesn't really tell us. He's either in prayer or he's in worship and he's seeking the face of God, this great prophet. And he looks up and he sees God. Whew. And he describes God as sitting on a throne. This is in the heavenly temple now. Okay? And Isaiah sees the Lord sitting and he describes him as high and lifted up. How many of you know God is high and lifted up? Yes. And the scripture says that the train of his robe fills the heavenly temple and smoke is going on everywhere. That's probably incense, something like that. But Isaiah sees God. And by the way, you need to know this. The word Lord is in capital letters. Y'all know what that means? That means He's sovereign. That means He's over the universe. He's in control. That means, and it was tough scenario that Judah was without a king. But while the throne in Jerusalem was empty, the throne in heaven was occupied. Amen. Hallelujah. Now that's shouting ground right there, young Baptist, old Baptist. All right? Y'all with me so far? And so the throne in Jerusalem's empty, but the throne in heaven's occupied. The King of Kings is there. And He is Lord. He's sovereign. He is sovereign over the universe. He's in control. He knows everything there is to know. And He can do anything that needs to be done. And there isn't anywhere where He cannot go and minister. That ought to help somebody here today. It should. He's sovereign. He's Lord. And whatever's going on in your life, He's the King of Kings. And He's the Lord of glory. And everything that's happening has already been filtered through His hands. And He's working and He's sitting high and lifted up. And the things that are happening to you are for your good and His glory. Look at your neighbor and say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That ought to help us this morning. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So now, you've also got in this scene that he sees, you've got these angelic creatures above the throne called seraphim. Okay? And they've all got six wings. And I could kind of jump off on that for a minute, but we'll let that go. Here's what I want you to know about these angelic creatures. They're giving God praise. They're giving God praise. If you could praise God for something today, what would you praise Him for? Now, praise is for His attributes, His characteristics. Thanksgiving is different. That's for what God's doing, okay? But if you could praise God for something, what would you praise Him for? Well, these angelic creatures are not saying, loving, loving, loving is the God of hosts. You know, I'm so tired of hearing about this ooey-gooey, lovey-dovey God that we've got from our secular world. That is horrible. They're not screaming and praising, mercy, mercy, mercy is the Lord God of hosts. While all that's true, He is a God of mercy. He is a God who loves us. But what are they saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. We're going to Revelation 4 next Sunday, I believe it is. And you're going to see some more of this stuff. But God is holy. The number one primary characteristic of God is holiness. He is just. He is righteous. He's never told a lie. He's never cheated anyone. He's never done anything wrong. He is perfect in every way. God is holy. And my brothers and sisters, we have lost this characteristic about who God is. There's no fear of the Lord anymore. Why? Because we don't know anything about His holiness. And if you don't know God's holy, you probably need a good dose of salvation. I love you enough to tell you the truth. God's holy. God's holy. I'm going to say more about what He expects out of us here in just a few minutes. But Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And and the train filling up the temple, and all that speaks of His power and His majesty. Oh, there's nothing like our great God. Whew. Glory to His name. He's high and lifted up. But you also need to know, and this is another sermon, although He's high and lifted up, He's not a distant God. He's up close and personal. How many of you saw Him this week? Six of you. Amen. All right, so Isaiah looked up and he saw the Lord, and what he saw was holiness. God is a holy God. Now, here we want to move on here. Isaiah saw a second thing, and this is really an amazing, amazing characteristic too of us. Y'all ready for this? Isaiah saw His holiness, and then he saw His sinfulness. Isaiah's sinfulness. Watch this. Look at verse 5. Let me back up to verse 4. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I, Isaiah, said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I don't know how to explain this. I'm just going to say it. Whenever you find yourself in the presence of Almighty God and you understand and experience His holiness, you're immediately aware of your sinfulness. It's all throughout the Scriptures. When you find yourself in holiness, personified in Christ Jesus, we're reminded about how unholy we are. Job saw the Lord and he repented of his sin. Simon Peter, when he experienced the power and the presence of God, he understood that he was in the presence of holiness. You know what he said? Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Paul, when comparing his righteousness over and against the glory of God, the glory of Christ Jesus, Paul said, man, my holiness is as garbage compared to him. Whenever we're in the presence and have an understanding of whose manifest presence we're in, we see and experience the holiness of God, and we're reminded just about how sinful we are. And I don't want to depress you, but brothers and sisters, we're sinners. We don't hear enough of that kind of teaching today. The Bible says we are all short of the glory of God. We're sinners. We've all broken God's laws, God's standards. And we all stand before the Lord condemned by our own sin. We're under God's wrath. Because of our sin, we have broken His heart. We've tore up His commandments. We're sinners. And the wages of sin is what? Separation from Him. And there's got to be an understanding of that. These feelings, I don't know how, if you've ever felt, you know, if you've ever said, man, I am a sinner, lost and undone. And you have these feelings of guilt and shame, and you feel filthy and nasty and dirty. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That's who we are. I think I've shared this with you about my oldest granddaughter. I was sharing that my daughter had asked me to share the gospel with Avery. She was about 6 years old, and I started just talking to her, and by the way, I can't wait for Vacation Bible School. Kids have so much faith, but they've got to have an understanding about what sin is. I mean, even the demons believe. And so I'm saying, Avery, do you know what sin is? Oh, yeah, Granddaddy. I said, what is sin? And she started, Billy, listing off all this stuff. I mean, that's when you lie. That's when you cheat somebody. That's when you're mean to your brother. That's when you're mean to your sister. That's when you don't do what mom and dad tell you to do. That's when you do blah, 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 blah. And I said, Avery, are you a sinner? And she said, oh, no, Granddaddy. It was a few years later before she began to get an understanding of what sin is and what sin does. I was sharing with a man several years ago about this very stuff. And I was saying, man, we deserve hell. You know, God created hell for the devil and his angels. But we've all sinned, and our sins separate us. And I was just giving him the gospel. He said, well, Pastor, I've got a clear conscience. And I said, no, you just got a bad memory. He said, what do you mean? And so I was able to help lead him to Christ. But here's the deal. When we see how holy God is and how sinful we are, did y'all know God expects us to be holy? Did y'all know over here that God expects us to be holy? Even those who are over here sitting on my righteous right, God expects us to be holy. And then for those folks in the majestic middle, God expects you all to be holy. And then over here on the liberal left, and I'm talking about liberal, I'm talking about giving and love, okay? God expects us to be holy, right? Right? How do you know that? The Bible. Turn with me, if you have your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, Ella, don't go there. Don't let them cheat, okay? 1 Peter chapter 1, because I want you to get it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. 1 Peter's way over there in your New Testament. If you don't have a Bible, steal somebody's. Everybody needs to see this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he who called you is holy. Watch this. You also be holy in all your conduct. In all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. The very word holy means to be set apart. Y'all with me? It means to be. By the way, you are the assembly of God. And that word assembly means the called out ones. You are the called out ones. You've been set apart. And I love what 2 Corinthians 6:17 says. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Amen. Separate. Well, what are you talking about there, Pastor? We're to be in the world, but not of the world. We're not supposed to talk like the world and dress like the world and walk like the world and look like the world. We're supposed to not be like them. We're to be like Him. Oh, that's real good. I just now put, yeah, thank you, Lord. We're to be like Him. Now, you don't need to go out here and be weird, okay? I've met so many Christians who think like, you know, I'm holy. That's not what we're talking about. Holy in all your conduct, in your speech, in your dress. I know the problem you girls have got. There's not a whole lot of clothing lines out there that accentuate your eyes and your face. Right? Come on, y'all. You know I'm telling you the truth. We're to be holy in the way we dress. We're to be holy in the way we look. We're to be holy in the way we act. We're to be holy in the places we go. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, whatever you're eating, whatever you're drinking, do everything for the glory of God. Amen. Think about that. And Romans 14:21 says it's not good to either eat meat or drink wine or do anything that offends a younger brother or makes them weaker or causes them to stumble. Holiness. Holiness. I'm just so y'all don't think the pastor doesn't have to deal with this, I do. Memorial Day weekend, Diana can vouch. They had one of these marathon deals called Yellowstone. How many of y'all seen Yellowstone? I'm not talking about the park. I'm talking about the TV series, okay? And it's about the Dutton family. And Kevin Costner's the big, you know, the big cheese in the movie. And the Dutton family has been 5 generations in trying to keep the land that they'd taken hundreds of years before. And I love the storyline. It was great. And I loved looking at the relationships that people were in. And I really liked it. And man, the scenery, goodness gracious. Have y'all ever been out to Montana? Glorious. Blue skies. Huge evergreens. Beautiful crystal clear waters. Gorgeous place. And I really, really liked what I was seeing. And then I heard, well, you blankety blank blank blank. And why did you do blankety blank 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 blank? Y'all understand where I'm coming from? And then she comes in the room and says, oh my goodness. And I got under conviction that weekend about listening to the language I was hearing. Because how many of you know garbage in, garbage out? Right? So I've got to hurry up. And so there's stuff all of us have to deal with, every one of us. We don't do anything that causes someone else to stumble. We believe in holiness. By the way, we don't gripe, we don't grumble, we don't gossip about our church family. 3 amens. Ooh, what does that say? We don't gripe, we don't grumble, we don't gossip about our church family or anybody else for that matter. Amen. So, our speech, our talk, our mouths, our minds, guard your mind too. Guys, I'm one of you. And we're like microwaves when it comes to, you know what I'm saying. Social media, internet, movies, television, guard your mind. Guard your mind. Because Satan would like nothing better than to dirty up your mind. That's why so many guys are dealing with pornography today. It's epidemic. And I'm talking good, godly people. Right? And I don't want to leave you girls out either. I had a Chippendale story, but I'm not going to go there. God expects us to be godly. He expects us to be holy. All of us. Every one of us. Y'all with me so far? Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips." You understand, when you get in the presence of holiness, you get under conviction about your sin. And so Isaiah confesses. This is a confession. First conviction, then confession. Y'all with me? And then watch what happens. Woo, glory to God. Isaiah, we're back in Isaiah 6. He says, "Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Do you see the process? Conviction, confession, cleansing. Oh, there's something about being set free. Forgiveness. Glory to God. Now, don't make too much of these hot, fiery coals. Don't go out to the backyard tonight and start a fire and try to grab one of the coals. That's not the truth that's being taught here. The truth that's being taught, when you're under conviction, confess the sin and receive God's cleansing by faith. And of course, all sin, every single sin that's ever been committed, has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you've done it with. If you will confess with the repentant spirit, God will clean you up and He'll cleanse you. And that's what the church needs today more than anything. We need to quit. We look more like the world than we do like what we're supposed to look like. My goodness. Where is the fear of the Lord anymore? Amen. And so, having said that, I'll quickly conclude with this second point. He was cleansed. He was cleansed. And I can't tell you how many people have told me, "Well, Brother Cal, I've got to clean this up, or I'm going to clean that up, or I'm going to clean my life up." You can't clean anything up. Our hearts are desperately wicked. We can't clean ourselves up. Amen. But Jesus can. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them, "Jesus can." Jesus can. Now tell somebody, "Jesus will." Jesus will. But you got to ask. Yes. All right, so there it is. There's that process. Don't miss it today. This is important. When you're under conviction about something, just come clean before God. Say, "Lord, you're right and I'm wrong. Woe is me." Confess it, and then by faith, be cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. And so when you come into the holiness, the holy presence of God, you're quickly aware of your own sinfulness. And if there's any unconfessed, unrepented sin, you're like, "Get that right with Him." And I'm praying that's what happens here today. Brothers and sisters, it's time the church got to be holy. Amen. He'll clean us up. I heard somebody tell me they're really good at evangelism, and they go out and say, he said, "Well, I had three more pray to receive Christ this week." I said, "Fantastic, man." He said, "Yeah, I catch them and God cleans them." No, God catches them and cleans them. And He'll clean things up for you if you allow Him to. Here's one final thing, and we'll close with this last point. Isaiah saw his usefulness. Watch this. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Keep on hearing, but don't understand. Keep on seeing, but don't perceive. The reason God needs to clean us up is so that he can use us. Y'all with me so far? The reason God wants to clean us up is so... It doesn't matter if you're physically challenged, mentally challenged, relationally challenged. If you're spiritually unclean, God can't use you. He can and he won't. I'm speaking from personal testimony here. But if you follow that formula for forgiveness, God will use anyone. And I stand here as living proof God will use anyone. He'll use you. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And so God had a purpose in cleaning Isaiah up. And here's what it was. So that he could put Isaiah in. You know, Isaiah is a prophet to Judah, to the nation. And God had a plan for him. And he said, Isaiah, I want you to go to my people who are backslidden and distant from me. Now, up until now, under King Uzziah's leadership, the nation was prosperous. They were peace. They were enjoying peace. They had it going on. They were rich and well satisfied, and everything was glorious and good. What happens when it gets like that? We forget about God. And so the nation is now backslidden, and he wanted Isaiah to go and be his witness to a people who didn't want to hear about sin and judgment. Amen. And I want to tell you what, that's right where we're at today. We live in a prosperous nation. We live in a, now we're in a mess, y'all know that. But most folks don't want to hear about sin and judgment and being backslidden and law. They don't want to hear about that. But you know, he says, who will go for us? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Who's going to go for us? And Isaiah signed the contract before God even filled it out. He said, here am I. Send me. I'll be your witness. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. Brothers and sisters, Second Mile family, listen to me. That's right where we need to get today. Amen. God saved you so that you might be able to serve. Not so that you could sit and soak and sour. He saved you to serve. Amen. I've told people before, Second Mile Church is not the place for a lot of folks. Because we believe in serving God. All of us. In some form, some shape, some fashion. That's why I'm so pumped about Vacation Bible School. You know what? We'll have more workers than we will children. We will. And am I right, Lauren? And that's a good thing. But not everybody's serving. God's called you to service. Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Let's be like Isaiah and say, here am I. Send me. Amen. Father, I want to thank you for your word today. Man, it's powerful. It's such a blessing. And I ask God that you would, this is the most important time of our service. If you've got questions, if you need prayer, you can come to this altar. You can go to the war room. We'll help you. There are people here that are great biblical counselors, spiritual advisors, prayer warriors. And I know that I know that I know all across this room today, God's speaking to people's hearts. Anytime you're confronted with God's word, there's a decision that has to be made. I'm going to pray. And then you're going to respond in faith and obedience. Father, in the quietness and stillness of this moment, I would ask God that you speak to our hearts. Help us, God, to respond like Isaiah did in faith and obedience. God, here am I. Send me. God, I'm open and willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm ready to serve, God. I'm ready to join. I'm ready to do, God, what you're calling me to do. Lord, we love you. And there's some here that can't do that right now because they're not saved. They didn't understand what they were doing years ago when they shook some preacher by the hand or prayed some prayer they don't even remember. God, they need to be saved right here today. If they'd come clean with you about their sin, if they would confess to you and ask for your forgiveness and that you might cleanse them wholeheartedly. Oh, God, do that right here, right now. Wherever you're sitting, please do that. Ask God to save you. Place your faith and trust in Him. And the rest of you that are here, if you have experienced the holiness and the presence and the power of God today, is there any unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life? Ask God to clean you up. That's just one more sin Jesus paid the price. Get it under the blood. And maybe you're here and you want to serve, but you just don't know how to serve or where to serve or when to serve or what to do. If you'll come here to this altar today, I promise you we'll get you plugged in somewhere in some type of service to the church. And you'll be so glad you did. But you've got to take that step of obedience. And so, Father, right now, I pray that you would do the saving, that you would call the serving, and God, that you would do the speaking to people's hearts. This is not about me. This is about you. Quiet, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Quietly and reverently, would you stand to your feet? Brother Andrew's going to lead us. Respond in faith and obedience right now. Don't wait. Just come on.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.